So happy Mother's Day. You guys never know what to do when I say that, right? Happy Mother's Day. Say it to somebody that's around you. Say happy Mother's Day to somebody around you. Happy Mother's Day. So today I am super grateful for all moms. I am specifically grateful. My own mom is here this morning. So I'm super excited that my mom's here this morning. All the way from Florida. So welcome to this weather, Mom. We're so glad that you're here. And my wife, just what an incredible mom she is. So it's a gift for me to be able to celebrate moms today. I think it's a really important day that we come together and we think about this and we celebrate. And I think part of the reason that the topic for today was chosen, and one of the reasons I wanted it to line up with today, is because of the way that my mom raised me and the care that my mom shared with me and the way that she taught me to care for other things. I think one of the things that moms do, many moms, is they give us that understanding of what it means to care for something more than yourself, to think of something outside of yourself. So today I'm going to talk about care for the environment and how we respond to that. And I think of all the topics in this sermon series on faith and science, this is one where theoretically faith and science don't have any discrepancies, right? Faith says care for the environment and the creation that God has given you. Science says, for goodness sakes, can we start caring for the environment, right? Can we do something? So this is not going to be one of those ones where I think I have to convince us today of intersections, but I think it's important, again, that we talk about these intersections. So I want to ask a question first to sort of get us kicked off this morning. How many people here are beach people? Raise your hand if you're a beach person, if you like the beach. How many people are mountain people? Like, you're like, I prefer the mountain. How many people don't like going outside? Okay, there's like three of you. Okay, so in my experience in life, people have a tendency to be beach people or mountain people. When they think about vacations, we're either going to go to the beach or we're going to go to the mountains. For me, growing up, we were beach people. And I loved going to the beach. I loved driving into where we were going. Usually it was Ocean City, Maryland. And as you got close and you put the windows down, you could smell the beach. Like, even if you sat in traffic, at least you were smelling the beach going to traffic. So you knew you were getting there. And then that first walk out on the beach every single year, when we would go out, and I would look out at the vastness of the ocean. Right? Nothing out there, nothing messing it up, and it would go as far as I could see. And honestly, y'all, it was in those moments that I experienced the very presence of God. Sitting out, looking over at the beach. And as I got older, it was waking up and watching the sunrise over the beach, or going out and watching the sunset and pausing a little more and paying attention. But it was in those moments when I was out in the midst of that creation, specifically at the beach for me, where I would experience and pause and experience God. Now, not only is creation beautiful, not only do I believe creation is a gift from God, but creation is something that sustains us, right? In Northern Virginia, many of us go and we turn a faucet on, and what happens? Water comes out, right? If you don't, call a plumber, right? That needs to be fixed. But if it does, that water's not just coming from some magical company, right? Creation gives us that gift of water. And when we go into a grocery store, we talked about that a little bit last week, and we get food, that's coming from creation, right? We're getting that gift of sustenance from the environment. So all of this is God's creation. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now here's what's so fascinating for me about God. God's act of creation, how often do we think about creation and we forget that it was actually creative? That God was designing this beautiful thing that we get to go out and we get to experience and we get to live in the midst of. So how often do we forget that God is this great creator? Sometimes I think my nature is to really sterilize God. God did this, and God did this, and God does this, and God does this. But God does this beautiful thing called creation. And God continues in the act of creation. It seems to me that what our Christian faith, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, should call us to do is to care for that, to do something for that. We've been in this series for the last 3 weeks now on faith and science. And if you haven't heard the first two sermons, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them. Our one from last Sunday just got up. Please go back and listen to them. Because what our goal has been is not to go, well, science is right or faith is right, but to look at the intersections of the two. to find those places of important intersection so that when we have conversations with people out in the world, we have these deep, real conversations. We cannot go, well, I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong, but say, why don't we see where the marriage of the two happens? So today we're specifically talking about the intersection between science and faith when it comes to creation and caring for the environment and what that looks like. You know, one of our biggest threats to our environment has been in the last few decades. It's our use and our abuse of plastic. Anybody heard of this problem? Right? It's a major, major issue. It's literally become part of our food chain. Do you know that? A garbage truck's worth of plastic enters the world's ocean every minute of every day. Let that sit with you for just a second. A garbage truck. Now, what happens is the reason when you go on a cruise or a boat, you don't look over the water and see all the trash is because it disintegrates into the ocean. But it's out there, little microscopic pieces of plastic all over the water, filling our ocean. In 2015, there were 1 million pieces of trash in the Pacific that were analyzed. 99% of them were plastic. In March, the National Geographic ran a story about a dead adolescent whale that was found off the coast of the Philippines. Did you guys hear about this story? It had 90 pounds of plastic in its stomach. And by 2050, it's estimated by the World Economic Forum that there'll be more plastic by weight in the ocean than fish. Friends, we have a problem. We have a problem. Our current reality of the earth, our current reality is not the way that God designed it and continues to create it to be. And we as the church have to own up to this. We have to decide, are we going to be people that make a difference in the creation that God has gifted us with, or are we going to be people that leave it? And I want to take us to Psalm 65 this morning, because it's a call to care for creation. Psalm 65, starting with verse 9, says, "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers, bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. And the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing." I love the way this scripture describes the gift that God has given us. I love the language and sort of the beauty in this. I mean, it reminds me to that point that I mentioned earlier that God is in this continual act of creating, and God is pretty stinking creative. God does this really, really beautiful thing with creation. And I wonder if after God did the initial creation, if God sat back and went, "I'm good." Like, that is real good. And said, "But there's still more to do. There's still more to create. There's still more beauty to bring." Because I think that beauty is popping up and growing all around us all the time. And God is this God of continual creation, this God of continual act. For me, as I mentioned about the beach, some of the most amazing moments I've had in my life have been out in the midst of creation. So I said I was a beach person, but last September, I took a team of folks and I went out to Yellowstone. And if you haven't been, just go. Don't plan too much, just go. But we were leaving the south end of Yellowstone one day. And at the south end of Yellowstone, as you pull out, you get to see the Tetons. You see these mountains right here? Absolutely gorgeous, breathtaking mountains. And I was driving the car, a van full of people, and I just pulled off the road. There was no plan. I pulled off the road because I was in awe of this beautiful, beautiful thing. This beautiful thing called the Tetons. And my friend, Meredith, who was one of the leaders on the trip with me, said, "Hey, I want to take you to this little chapel." And I was like, "I do not want to go to a chapel right now. Like, I am in the midst of the beauty of God's creation." She said, "No, you got to see this chapel." So we pull up and we go to this little chapel right here. And as you can imagine, this little chapel was not that exciting to me, right? I'm like, I want to see the mountains, but you're going to take me in a chapel. But we walk in, and it takes us to that picture you actually just saw. This is a window within the chapel. So a window within the chapel, and I was standing there, and it's basically half of the back of the chapel. And in the midst of this, I said, what more beautiful picture of God in the midst of creation? And I was reminded, when I looked at those mountains, of the beauty and the awe and the creative nature of God as God made this beautiful thing that I get to go and experience. Y'all, most of us would be appalled at the little things that mess up creation. Right? If you were driving down the road and somebody threw a bag of trash out the window, how would that make you feel? Angry. You're like, I'm going to chase them down. Rather than picking up their bag of trash, right? I want to chase them down and get their bag. Or most of us these days have our trash picked up by a service. I think one of the reasons for that is because it's convenient. The other reason is how many people love to go and see all the trash in the landfill? All the stuff that we're putting there. Or a few years ago when the oil spill happened in the Gulf, how many people were excited about that? Right, we look at these little pieces and they appall us. And then we hear the big stories like the oil spill and we say, how in the world can that happen? But the truth is, guys, the church, we are not doing our job. We are not standing up as the church saying, well, we got to do our part. And we've got to take care of our piece of creation. Look, Genesis chapter 2, God calls humanity to care for creation. It says, the Lord God took the human, settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it, and to care for it. The Lord God said, care for it. Take care of it. Do something for it. Today, I don't think my job is to convince us that faith and science both have something to say about this. I think that is true and natural and clear. I actually think my job today is to kick the church a little bit in the pants to say, let's do something. The problem is, though, when we think about the large-scale problem of environmental challenges, we look at it and we say, that's too much, right? I can't do anything about the big problem. And often what happens in the life of humanity is when we can't do anything about the big problem, we become paralyzed and do nothing. And we say, there's absolutely nothing for us to do. And I think when we become paralyzed by the big problem of environmental stewardship and we do nothing, then I think we're looking God in the face and we're saying, this creation that you've given us and said take care of, we're just not going to do it. We're like a 12-year-old. I have one of those in my home. I hear that often. I'm not going to do it. But we're like a 12-year-old looking back at God going, no, I've just decided that the problem is too big. I'm not going to handle it. As part of the United Methodist Church, we have these statements, these things called social principles. And they're things that we stand behind and we say, these are really important to us. So what does the church have to say about environmental care? I want to read it to you this morning. It says, all creation is the Lord's, and we are responsible for the ways in which we use and abuse it. Water, air, soil, minerals, energy resources, plants, animal life, and space are to be valued and conserved, because they are God's creation and not solely because they are useful to human beings. God has granted us stewardship over creation. We should meet these stewardship duties through acts of loving care and respect. Not solely because they are useful to human beings. Friends, we have this deep call to do something. To be honest, it's hard to know where to start. I want to give us some suggestions this morning. Without getting into politics of climate change and environmental policy, the cars we drive and how they impact our air by the gas, without being judgmental and going out in the parking lot and put stickers on all the SUVs, right, and saying, let's stop doing this. What can we do? What can we as individuals do? What can the church do? How can we respond? Here's the first thing. And this is a do, I think. First thing, be in awe of creation. I want you to do something. Maybe not today, because today's Mother's Day. I want you to go home, and I want you to go in your house, and I want you to get on this thing called Google Earth, and I want you to put your address in. And I want to invite you to look at how you are part of a much larger picture. a much larger planet. Now, I do think it's odd that the first thing your pastor tells you on environmental stewardship is to go inside and get on a computer. But go inside and get on a computer and see pictures that are bigger than you. See that we are just a small part of the vastness of the beauty of this planet. It wasn't until 1968 that we had the first pictures of Earth from outer space. And how it really started to get people to think about things beyond themselves and bigger than themselves. Blue marble, I don't know if you guys remember this, but blue marble was a big thing that captured the attention of the entire world. Along with other photographs of Earth, it helped ignite people into caring for this planet, to caring for creation. See, pictures like blue marble give us the scope and the magnitude of that which God has given us to care for. It helps us be in awe. Because of astronauts, because of scientists and satellites, we have these amazing images that help us see how beautifully and intricately weaved God's creation is. And I think we have to find ourselves in a place where we're in awe of it. To sit back, as I believe God does, and look at the beauty of it. Because if we want to care for it, we've got to hold it in a special place. That's why I always tell people, go somewhere like Yellowstone. Go somewhere and see the beauty. Heck, go to Shenandoah National Park. See the beauty that God has given us. So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Do something physical. Next Sunday after worship, it'd be beautiful if we had 100 people out there picking up trash on the street. Not only does it send a message to our community, but it absolutely transforms the way you think about your community. Picking up little pieces. We had this great experience last time. It was only about a half an hour. And we had people who didn't know each other talking to each other and getting to know each other while picking up trash and making a difference in their environment. Go plant a garden. Plant a tree. Do something with your hands that's physical. Measure your trash over the next week. Pay attention to what you're putting in the landfill. Think about what you're putting in the recycling versus the trash versus composting. How are you making a difference environmentally? But do something. Make a decision to go out and do something. And here's the third thing. Make mama proud. On Mother's Day, care about something bigger than yourself. You may not have had a great mom, or maybe you don't still have your mom, or maybe you haven't had that experience of care, but I bet you've seen it in someone else. Care for creation. Step outside of yourself. Faith and science 100% align on this one. Get outside of who you are. Think about the legacy that you're going to leave for the next generation. Be intentional about it. Don't say, it's not my problem. It's going to be somebody else's problem. Let's help the future. Friends, according to science, the future of the earth is glim. We're treating the earth like a 50-year-old man who's out of shape, who doesn't exercise, who smokes and drinks. And we're pouring more and more into it and not caring for it. I believe that from the beginning, God has called us to care for creation, to get outside of ourselves, to take our focus beyond ourselves. And friends, eventually, when we don't, it will catch up with us. You may be sitting here today and you may be like me going, I can't fix all the problems. I don't think God's calling us to fix all the problems. Maybe God's calling you to fix just one problem, one challenge, do one thing. God calls us to be what's called stewards of creation, to hold it, to care for it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do that's different this week? What are you going to do today to change the narrative of creation? Do it because it matters. Do it because God cares about it. And do it to make mama proud. Happy Mother's Day.